Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Now on the tee.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun
hey.
Of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
Hey there, and welcome to this Masters Recap edition of Real Golf Radio. In a year for the history books, the 84th Masters is one for the record books. Dustin Johnson shot a record 20 under par to dominate and capture the 2020 Masters and his second major championship. We are going to get into all the storylines and the details of what an amazing and memorable performance by the world number one, Dustin Johnson. Scott Michaud, local journalist from Augusta, Georgia, will join us here in hour number one. The caddy will join us on the back nine, hour number two. I'm Brian Taylor. As always, pleased to be joined by Bob Casper, son of 1970 Masters champion Billy Casper. And Bob, as we sat and texted and tweeted, and by the way, you can follow us on our Twitter handle, @RealGolf, talking through that final round of the Masters. Yeah. We expected somebody to come out and make a run, somebody to make it interesting for Dustin Johnson and maybe for Dustin himself to create a little bit of drama. That happened a little bit at the beginning, a little shaky start slightly by Dustin Johnson. But after he caught his stride at the sixth hole with that birdie, it was game on, and DJ just ran away and left everybody in the dust.
Yeah, it was the guy that kind of made the best advance towards him was Cameron Smith. He got the one shot back, like you said, going to the sixth hole, and for Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson proceeded to hit it close and make a birdie, and then, like you said, it was Katie Barr the door from there, because he played such consistent golf, hitting fairways, hitting greens, making some birdies at 8 and 13, and some of those strategic places where you needed to make birdies, and he did, and he just pulled away, got to 20 under par, and got into the clubhouse.
And maybe just as important, he navigated 11 and 12 without a blemish.
Exactly. And, 20 under par, record setting, beat the previous standard by Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth by two shots. But it was fun to watch. A lot of people said it was boring, but I was very impressed with how he handled himself from the sixth hole on and down the back stretch. To see how, he hit fairways and he hit greens, kind of did it boring golf, but I'll tell you what, he ran away the winner.
Not very often do you say Dustin Johnson plays boring golf. The guy is amazing. Yep. We'll talk about his win. We'll talk about the stats, those around him, the rest of the leaderboard as well. And what does this mean going into the Masters again in 4.5 months? We'll get into all of it. Thanks for joining us. Brian and Bob with you on a Masters recap edition of Real Golf Radio. In golf, we love the way technology helps us better enjoy the game. The same goes for our other pursuits. If fly fishing is one of those, let me introduce you to the River Quiver. Fly fishing is about the journey, moving from spot to spot until you land that fish you've been looking for all day. But what do you do with your rod? Break it down, hang it out the back window? You're not going to let it roll around in the back of your truck. Just slide it in your River Quiver, fully assembled and ready to fish. This premium rooftop fly rod holder is designed to protect your rod and give you more time on the water to catch more fish. Locked, loaded, ready to fish. Find your River Quiver at riversmith.com.
To be the number one irons in golf for five consecutive years and counting, Callaway can't stop pushing the limits. That's why they've used artificial intelligence to create the new Maverick irons. AI has uniquely engineered a flash face cup in every Maverick iron to maximize distance throughout your entire set, while each club's center of gravity is precisely positioned to optimize launch. New distance is out there. It takes a Maverick to find it. Get new distance at CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one irons in golf.
How did we create our most advanced tour ball ever? We invested and built one of the most advanced golf ball facilities in the world. Inside and out, we've re-engineered every aspect of Chrome Soft to create our fastest, highest quality, and most consistent tour ball ever. A new era of innovation has built a ball for total performance. The new Chrome Soft. This ball changes everything.
From the brand that sells over 2 million backpacks per year, OGIO's new Fuse Stand Bag will have you feeling as fresh on the 17th hole as you did on the second. Integrating industry-leading strap technology, OGIO's Fuse Stand Bag is the perfect companion for the walking golfer. With wide and dense padding and the self-leveling Fit Disc technology, the Fuse delivers unparalleled walkability. This season, make sure your stand bag is as light as Fuse. Learn more about the best bags in golf at OGIO.com/golf.
Those who know love heading to St. George, Utah for year-round fun, especially golf. But where to stay is always a challenge, and getting a tee time can be tough. What if there was a Scottsdale-style golf resort in St. George where you can stay and play? And what if you could own your own residence there? Well, now there is. Introducing Black Desert Resort at Entrada. The second and final chapter of the Entrada vision offers a full community with exceptional amenities from residential villages, hiking trails through preserved lava flows, spa, world-class dining and shopping, and a Tom Weisskopf championship golf course. It's literally an outdoor paradise that will strengthen family bonds and make lifelong memories. That's life at Black Desert. Find out how you can stake your claim at blackdesertresort.com. blackdesertresort.com. Exclusive real estate opportunities are available now. Black Desert Resort at Entrada. Unlike anything you've experienced before.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
Welcome back. Brian and Bob with you right here on Real Golf Radio, presented by Callaway Golf and the Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X. This ball changes everything. Check it out at CallawayGolf.com, or better yet, just give it a test drive, man. Tee one up and let it fly. The new Callaway Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X. And by the way, Callaway has released their holiday gift guide. It's available at CallawayGolf.com, so perfect place to go as you prepare for your Black Friday shopping coming up next week, and all your holiday gifts for the golfer on your list can be found in the holiday gift guide at CallawayGolf.com. Recapping the 84th Masters, and as I said, one for the record books for sure, to see Dustin Johnson really not flinch. He had back-to-back bogeys early on. Things tightened up a little bit, but it was clear that he was determined not to let that green jacket get away. The takeaway for me, Bob, is for a guy in Dustin Johnson with all the talent that he has, and some of the ways that I point to talent is his consistency throughout his career of winning at least once every single year and multiple times a year over the last several years. And the way he just continues to evolve his game, to sharpen up his wedge game, to improve his putting, to continue to control his driver, not chase distance, knowing that he has, God-given natural distance and plenty of it. He's able to just tighten his game up, not let things bother him when he has all the excuses in the world to have things bother him. When you look back at the way he collapsed at Pebble Beach, when you look back at the dustpan that they'll call it at Whistling Straits, when he hit out of a waste area that ended up being a bunker, and that cost him there. From almost the USGA trying to steal away his US Open at Oakmont with a strange ruling that he ended up overcoming and still won. I mean, it's been a
PGA championship this year.
Another one. He's just had so many close calls. And for us to say that this is the first time that he's converted a 54-hole lead into a win in a major championship is astounding. Yeah. It's astounding.
Yeah, it is. It is astounding. You know, there's a lot of things that he did great, and a lot of those things were hitting fairways, hitting greens, and getting the ball up and down when he needed to. His putting, he did all those things great that you need to do to be a Masters champion, especially on this golf course. Now, take it for granted that, you know, there was some weather, the ball wasn't running out or chasing out in the fairways, the greens were pretty soft, but these guys get a handle on that type of thing early in the golf tournament when they understand that greens are going to hold, fairways are going to hold, and they start rifling at the pins. And that's why you see a record of 20 under par by the winner this year at the Masters.
Was there ever any doubt in your mind that DJ was going to finish it off? And did you think he would get the record? Did it surprise you?
Well, you know, I think he was definitely going for the record or being able to tie the record. Any type of doubt came when he bogeyed the fourth hole in the fifth hole. But then when he hit that shot to that upper right pin placement on the sixth hole, hit it in there about 4 or 5 feet, maybe 6 feet at the most, and buried that putt right in the middle, that's when the doubt went away, because he righted himself, got right back on track, and was able to right things and get going on the front nine, finish out the front nine, and then you knew he was going to have an opportunity to score well on the back nine.
Well, and don't forget, this is the 10th time he's played the Masters.
Yes.
Technically, it's his 11th appearance, but he had to withdraw when 2017 when he fell down the stairs. So, you know, from that standpoint, this was his 10th playing. And, you know, it's your dad took, I think, 14 times before he won, which I believe was a record until Marco Mira took 15 times, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere in that. But nevertheless, it certainly was there was a proving ground. And the other thing I look at with Dustin Johnson as we went into this, he's trending, right? In his last four starts, 6-4, 10-2.
Yep.
So his best finish was last year, and that's significant because there's not a lot of players who can parlay a runner-up finish by winning the following year. In fact, it's, I believe, the eighth player and then just the ninth time to win the Masters after finishing runner-up the year prior. So pretty impressive stuff. I'm happy for DJ. He's one of those guys that you would look at and say, there's no way he doesn't win a green jacket at some point in time. It's a little bit maybe unfortunate that he didn't get the coronation walking up the 18th fairway, that he wasn't able to have all the spoils of the cheers and the roars all the way along. And yet at the same time, you look at it and you go, you know what? If there's ever a guy that's not going to care about that thing, it's Dustin Johnson. And
well,
yet,
I think,
and yet not to say he doesn't care, because clearly the emotion that he showed afterwards was a different side that we really haven't seen a lot of at a DJ. And I think it humanized him even a little bit more. It probably endeared a lot more fans to him. And he is going to be, this is major for his career. And let's not forget, he's what, 36 years old.
Yep.
I mean, he's
yep.
got plenty of time to get out there and win more major championships. And, you know, again, it's what have you done for me lately? He's the latest winner. We probably get stuck in the moment, but certainly he looks like with his form, with his health, his shape, the distance that he has, that he should be one to go on and win several more major championships.
Well, he should be. And you know, as far as him caring or not caring, I don't think he really cared. He won a major championship and he won the Masters. He was very sentimental about the thought of being a young kid from South Carolina, not far away from Augusta, and where the Masters is played, and thinking about winning the Masters when he first started golf. That's the golf tournament he wanted to win. He was able to put that green jacket on. I thought it was also cool how he kind of took his brother under his wing and has had him on the bag now for 7 years. And his brother was the one who was getting emotional in the middle of the 18th fairway, and he had to hit his brother and say, hey, you can't be doing that right now because I'm going to start crying too. I just thought, like you said, it's a side of DJ that we haven't seen. It's a side that I really enjoyed seeing. And then as he talked to whoever was there for the green jacket ceremony, he really got emotional. And he got emotional in with the media too. I thought it was a great win, a fitting win. And it's really going to be cool because in 4.5 months we get to see it again.
Yeah, and like as you said, he's already the betting favorite. He's got 24 wins now on the PGA Tour. That ties Gary Player for 26th on the all-time PGA Tour wins list, which is, you know, pretty interesting.
Yep.
He's 36 years old, 24 wins, the two majors. You start to look at it and say, okay, when DJ's putting together a career, he's mm-hmm. already a Hall of Famer.
He is
at this point in time
already done.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when what would you project? I would have to say that he's got a good 10 years. You know, again, barring any major injury, something like we saw with Brooks, mm-hmm. but he doesn't work his body hard like Brooks and Tiger. He really doesn't. He's got a lot of natural ability. I'm not to say he doesn't work hard. He certainly works hard.
Right.
But
right.
his long lanky swing and it's not quite as violent as some of those other guys that I just mentioned. So I would give him 10 years. He's shown that he can win every year. That's not going to yep. always be the case. But I think it's safe to say in 10 years, you give him 10 more wins, maybe more.
Yeah,
so that puts him up to 36.
I think 10's pretty good because he's proven that he can do one a year since he's begun on tour.
So that puts him at 36 or 35, 34. So if he gets in that 34, 35, I mean, Phil Mickelson, which is a generational player,
yep.
you know, has 43, and
44, I think,
and five majors.
Yep.
I don't think I'm giving DJ 40 wins, but I'd get him in the mid 30s and I would give him four majors. I think yep. he can pick up another couple majors.
Well, in today's game, you're talking about generational players. He's the guy that's it in today's game so far. With those 24 wins, he's the guy that eclipsed that mark of a lifetime exemption on the PGA Tour. He's got two majors with another, you know, 10 years, another 40 majors to play, barring any injury, as you talked about like that. I don't see why there's not any reason they can't pick up another one or two between now and his mid-40s. But, you know, we see that time and time and time again. And, I mean, we don't even put it in the realm of career Grand Slam or anything like that yet. But you know, he's a phenomenal player. He's a phenomenal winner, and he's played some phenomenal golf this year so far.
Well, let's not forget he's going to play at least 20 more Masters, I would guess.
Uh huh.
And
at
look
least.
And that puts him at 56. Look what Bernhard or 54. Look what Bernhard Langer.
Mm-hmm.
56 rather. Look what Bernhard Langer did this year at 63.
Yep.
And Bernhard never had the length. DJ will be hitting it further at 63 than Bernhard Langer is hitting it at 63. So
yeah,
you just never know, do you, right? I mean, Tiger and Phil both made some noise early on in this tournament before fading away. We got to talk about that. We got to talk about Bryson and Bernhard going head-to-head in the final round, the shortest and the longest. We've got to talk about Tiger and that, you know, if there was ever a 2020 back nine, it had to be Tiger's back nine on Sunday. We'll talk about all that. Scott Michaud joins us next, local Augusta veteran golf journalist. We'll get his take, what it was like to be on site. I'm anxious to hear his thoughts. And then Cam Smith set a record. Sungjae Im played some great golf. Justin Thomas was close. We'll talk about it all as we continue to recap the 84th Masters right here on Real Golf Radio. Hotel Park City, along with the Spa and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, are open. Parents were tired, forced into homeschooling, juggling work at home and kids at home. Well, take a staycation and escape to Hotel Park City. The pool's open, fitness center, Bandana's Grill, Ruth's Chris, the Spa, and the golf course. From suites and the cottages that offer private hot tubs on the balcony and three fireplaces, you got to get away to Hotel Park City. Call 435-940-5077. That's 435-940-5077 for reservations today.
Hi, it's Ned Siegfried. Siegfried & Jensen has been around a long time. We've been handling injury cases for over 30 years. During this time, Siegfried & Jensen has had the privilege of helping tens of thousands of Utahns. If you've had the misfortune of being injured in an accident, we'd love to help you as well. To talk to us for free about your situation, call us at 801-222-2222 or visit us at SiegfriedJensen.com.
Hey, when you're not hunting birdies on the golf course, you may just want to hunt or shoot. Get some guns and ammo. Yeah, it's what you want. It's also the name of the store. Stop in one of the four locations along the Wasatch Front with Get Some Guns and Ammo stores in Murray, Orem, Layton, and Tooele. A great selection of firearms, an indoor shooting range for rifle, pistols, and shotguns, and Get Some has a large selection of range gun rentals so you can try it before you buy it. Beginners are welcome. Come and learn from the experts at Get Some Guns and Ammo, open 7 days a week.
You might know Mountain Land Supply for its plumbing products, but did you know Mountain Land Supply also carries landscaping, irrigation supplies, and tools? They can help you design and calculate the exact feet of pipe, sprinkler heads, and nozzles to use for your yard. Using smartphone technology, you can even control your watering with state-of-the-art controllers. For all your landscaping needs, go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest you.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down. I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you here on the show. Remember to give us a follow at Twitter, at Real Golf, and counting, not counting down, but looking back at and recapping the 84th Masters. And as I said, definitely one for the record books, not only the 72-hole score of 20 under by Dustin Johnson, but, you know, we finally had four rounds in the 60s. One, that was such a strange stat that would live on for so long, and it wouldn't you know it, in 2020 it finally happens, and it's not good enough to win. So it just, it's kind of one of those things. But, hey, Scott Michaud's a good friend of ours, a longtime writer for the Augusta Chronicle, and a native there of Augusta, and a veteran golf journalist who was on site last week for the 84th Masters, kind enough to join us right now. Scott Michaud. Scott, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Good. So just what was that like? Just, I mean, how can you sum up the experience of a week at the Masters when it was probably as populated as maybe a member.
It was like going to an amateur tournament. That's how many people were out there. By Sunday, you had enough people concentrated following the leaders around, and maybe there, I don't know if you could tell on television, there were probably 700 people around the 18th green to see DJ finish. And they were mostly the volunteers who'd been on the golf course, members who were allowed to come, and they were allowed to bring a guest and media. And that was it. So it was surreal, really. I mean, you've been there. You know what it's like. You know what the atmosphere is. And to not have that Masters atmosphere, just it was unusual, cool, but also disappointing, because, you know, you didn't know what was going on the golf course. You didn't get those audible signals that we all are so familiar with.
You know, when we were chatting just a little while ago off the air, you talked about the leaderboards. And, you know, those top 12 or 14 people that are on the leaderboards, you don't know what's going on the golf course other than those guys that you see on the leaderboard.
Exactly. Normally on every hole, they have what we call through boards. That's, you know, THRU. And they would have the names of every player that was in the group that was playing that hole and what their score was through the previous hole. So you always, at least, no matter where you were, you could look in front and you could see the people in front of you and know what they were doing. there were people coming up to the green. If they weren't on the leaderboard, we had no clue what they were doing in the tournament because, of course, we can't have cell phones on us to keep up with the leaderboard online. So you pretty much had to either ask somebody, which you could do. You could talk to the caddy or somebody like that as they walked by. And occasionally players would say hello and you know, have a little small talk with you as you're going around. And that was another unusual aspect of it. But you pretty much knew, didn't know what was going on. You just had to go inside and catch up.
That's interesting. Yeah, that would be a little frustrating because they do such a good job of keeping everybody up to date. And it seems like there's always people, you know, patrons that are funneling in and out of observation areas and grandstands and things like that. That, you know, if you said, now what's going on, that somebody would say, oh, I was just down here and I saw this. And, you know, so people are kind of, it becomes this little, I don't want to say rumor mill, but this information highway through all the patrons that, and without them, you're right. You're left to wonder because there are no electronic scoreboards. There is no digital technology out there for you to follow. So that does make it interesting. How about some of the other aspects of it? Scott, I found it fascinating without grandstands that, and you'd mentioned to us or something in a tweet that you could roll right up to the Saracen Bridge on 15. There were no ropes anywhere. What are some other access that just was kind of unique and fun to be able to get a vantage point you wouldn't otherwise have?
It was like having your own private Masters tournament happening in front of you, and you could go wherever you wanted to. Without ropes, without grandstands, like you said, I could put my toes on the back of the 12th tee, and guys would be 15 feet in front of me teeing off into Amen Corner. Normally there's, you know, 25 yards of people in chairs sitting there, you know, and then people standing up behind them, and it's almost claustrophobic when you try to go down there when the leaders are going through Amen Corner. Here you had it all to yourself. You could go all the way to where, you know, almost 40 yards from the 13th green. You could be right behind the Saracen Bridge where there's normally a huge grandstand, and not only watch everything happening right in front of you on the 15th green, you could see the whole 16th hole right behind you.
Oh yeah. How good is that?
So, it was like possibly the most perfect spot. But there were those places all over. You know, you've done it like I have. You watch these guys play the first few holes, and you walk down one, and you go part of the way down two, watch them from a distance, and cut over to three. And you're standing behind all these people, and you sort of maybe catch a glimpse of a player, you know, standing over a putt, but you don't see the hole. You could see the whole third green and the fourth hole beyond it. Players were having to wait and defer to adjacent greens and tees, you know, and try to look at each other. Like guys on the third tee are looking at the seventh green to make sure they're not trying to putt when they're about to tee off because they would distract each other. It was that much of a close environment, and everything was on top of each other. John Rahm made a comment about he could hear somebody 150 yards away opening a potato chips bag. And I was a little concerned that it was me that he was hearing. Because I started to open a bag and I got so self-conscious, I just had to put it down. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, I can't do this. You couldn't rattle ice in a cup or players would hear you. It was that quiet out there at times. So, you know, it was unlike anything you could have ever imagined happening at Augusta National.
Yeah. And having all those people there in a normal Masters, that kind of buffers everything. So that, like you said, it kind of absorbs some of that ancillary.
The white noise, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
the white noise.
That's what it is.
The extra stuff. But the cool thing is, you know, we've all been to major championships and that kind of thing. And you normally get an armband or something on your pass or whatever that says inside the ropes, and you got to do it without it.
Right, and there were no ropes. That the course looked so cool without having any of that stuff set up. It really was beautiful to look at, and I hope that came across on television and maybe some of the aerial shots that they had. Mm-hmm. You really got to see Augusta National in its glory, except for the way the greens played because of the rain that they got drenched on Thursday, which was really unfortunate because it changed everything for the whole week. But the course just looked exceptional.
veteran golf journalist, Augusta native, Scott Michaud, joining us here on Real Golf Radio. It's always so perfect, the Masters, the golf course, everything is just, there's nothing out of place. You could tell on television that it was... It's in growing season, you know. I mean, the rye was still coming through, the Bermuda was still going away. It was kind of in the middle of all that. How did it look in person walking around? And are we still calling that second cut, or could we have actually said rough this week because it was pretty deep?
It could come up over your ankles in places because they have to let the rye establish itself right now. They couldn't cut it down like they normally do during Masters Week in April, but also you also don't have anybody tramping it down out there. So it was standing straight up, but it was also so thin that it really didn't affect the players. It wasn't like wingfoot rough. You know, that stuff is thick and lush and will grab your club, and, you know, you or I can barely get your club through it. This was more wispy, thin. It looked like rough, probably on television, but it didn't play like it other than, you know, I was going to say they couldn't stop their ball on the green. Of course they could. There were balls embedding on greens on Thursday.
Strange.
It was. Bryson DeChambeau and Louis Oosthuizen were playing together in the first round, and we're standing there behind that Sarazen Bridge, and the balls just came in and went thwack, and only the top quarter of the balls were visible because they just went straight into the green. So it was, you know, that was the most unfortunate aspect of it. And that was just because they got so much rain in such a short period of time that even the sub air couldn't suck it from that top layer. And they didn't have any wind until Sunday.
Mm. Yeah.
Was the sub air going though?
It was. Oh yeah. That was a quiet hum that you could hear all
over
the
course. You couldn't hear it. Actually, you couldn't hear it on TV.
You couldn't hear it on the TV broadcast.
Well, of course not. But we could hear it when you're out there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So your thoughts about how this thing finished out? Dustin Johnson, of course, at 20 under par. And then you've got Cameron Smith, Sungjae Im, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, a top five, and Dylan Fratelli, a top five. Your thoughts about the play and everything that happened and transpired this week, Dustin's play again on Sunday, too?
Well, Dustin was spectacular all week. We followed him around a lot. And I know it says that he averaged 306 yards off the tee and was probably seventh on the average driving distance. Mm-hmm. You would not have known that following him. He was hitting it further than a lot of those guys on a lot of holes, but he was hitting them straight. He was hitting fairways. And like the eighth, he was halfway up the hill over the bunker. He was just bombing it. He was in total control of his game. You could tell early on that he was the guy that everybody was going to have to beat. And then Saturday afternoon, when Justin Thomas and John Rahm and Patrick Reed kind of had a couple hiccups at the end of their rounds and ended up giving him a little bit of breathing room, made it pretty easy for him. He had a bunch of inexperienced guys in majors trying to chase him on Sunday. And while I thought Cameron Smith did yeoman's work trying to keep up with him and posted rounds in the 60s and lost by five, I mean, that just shows you how much better Dustin was.
No question about it. He was super spectacular. What's your final analysis on the Bryson experiment? Do you think just because it didn't work out for him that it was a failure? Do you think it's just what was the talk? What was the discussion? That's one of the things I missed, is being in the media. I would say media center, the press building, and listening to some of the discussions going on about various topics. What was that like around the Bryson topic all week?
Well, the mistake that Bryson seemed to make was he just didn't prepare himself well enough to be able to handle where he was going to put the ball all week. Instead of worrying about his wedge game and those hours on Tuesday and Wednesday when you're trying to finish up getting ready for the Masters, he was tinkering with a 48-inch driver that he wasn't going to use.
Right.
So I think he wasted a lot of effort to work on this driver and didn't get himself ready to handle all the rest of the shots. And that's always been his problem at Augusta. There's nothing wrong with trying to kill it out there. Rory was killing it out there. Dustin was killing it out there. Fratelli was killing it out there. These guys are hitting it a long way, all of them. But Bryson was the one who was not able to handle with the wedge game. And I think he just didn't, he needs to work on his game plan and maybe stop working on the science a little bit at Augusta, because it's going to be chipping and putting that wins him a green jacket if he does it one day.
And then the other thing he needs to do is not go in boasting too about the golf course being a par 67 for him. It immediately sets him up for failure.
Well, especially since he didn't break that par any day. So the other guys were tearing par apart because they were playing it as a 72, and he wasn't. So, you're right. I mean, he likes to talk. And while I thought in his press conference he tried to tone it down a little bit, what he kind of said on the Golf Channel and some other places, he set himself up for failure in the eyes of people who are really watching him keenly.
Hey, Scott, before we let you go, did you get a sense that the membership at Augusta National was concerned about Bryson's, ability to hit it so far, concerned that they saw 20 under par win and a tournament scoring record, that maybe something needs to be done? I mean, we heard from the chairman all week long that, it's kind of a wait and see kind of thing. To me, I thought the golf course held its own, and it was simply a matter of, the softness of the conditions that they really had no control over due to Mother Nature. But did you sense that, hey, we got to rethink this? There's got to be another tiger-proof type, approach to Augusta National like we saw in 05 or 06?
They obviously have had some concerns, and I know they didn't like the narrative being so much about Bryson all week long and what he was going to do to their golf course. But if you look at it, he didn't really do that to their golf course. None of them did. That 13th hole held its own all week. Guys had big numbers there. It helped ruin Rory's week. It helped ruin a lot of guys' week. That hole still has some bite left in it. And I don't think they need to do a major overhaul. I do think they need to have the course the way they want it. They cannot have a soft golf course with these guys, because these guys will always tear up a soft golf course. So if they can get it firm in April, it will hold its own again. And the big guys always have an advantage, but at Augusta, you have to chip and putt.
Well, we weren't able to make it to Augusta for the 84th Masters, but we did set a record for the amount of money we spent on concessions because we did order the $150 taste of the Masters.
Oh, and it's such a shame you guys weren't there, because the concessions were free. You just walked in and grabbed whatever you wanted all week long, anywhere on the course. It was awesome.
Which, like I said, we've spent our share, or we've eaten our share of concessions, but to spend $150, I guess when you can't be there, it was worth the experience.
Well, good for you. Did you spend any other money on gnomes and things like that?
No gnomes, but I got 3 hats that don't fit me that I'll be giving as gifts, and a few other items. So,
We missed you, and I hope that things can return to some bit of normalcy in April, but I wouldn't hold my breath. They seem to be preparing to have limited patrons again. So we'll see how things shake out in the next 5 months.
Yeah, here's hoping, right? Hey, Scott, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Miss seeing you, as we said, but wishing you and your family happy Thanksgiving next week, and we'll catch up to you again soon.
Thanks. I hope to see you all soon.
All right. There you go. Scott Michaud, veteran golf journalist, Augusta native, kind enough to spend some time with us right here on Real Golf Radio, looking back at the 84th Masters. We'll take a short break. Continue the conversation next right here on Real Golf Radio. Have you heard? There's an all-new experience coming to St. George, Utah. Black Desert Resort at Entrada is a full community resort experience featuring a resort hotel, private residences, world-class dining and shopping, a Tom Weisskopf designed championship golf course, and so much more. With a simple message of remarkable within reach, Black Desert Resort beckons you to visit and even stay for a lifetime. Exclusive real estate opportunities are available at blackdesertresort.com. Black Desert Resort at Entrada, unlike anything you've experienced before.
When it comes to putting, alignment is arguably the most important part of the equation.
Okay, let's face it. If you're not lined up correctly, the odds of you making anything are next to nothing.
Which is why Odyssey continues to set the standard for performance with the new triple track putters.
The distinct triple track alignment lines that you've seen on Callaway golf balls, they're now featured on the new triple track putters from Odyssey.
It's shocking how much easier it is to line up your putts.
Wow. Triple track technology utilizes a principle called, you ready for this? Vernier hyperacuity.
What?
To improve your alignment and your putting accuracy.
That's that same visual technology used to land jets on aircraft carriers.
Hey, now that's reliable and accurate.
And once you're lined up, you can focus on making a great stroke.
Just like Bob always does, which is even easier since every triple track putter has a multi-material consistency enhancing Stroke Lab shaft that's been winning major championships and dominating at tour events around the world.
Get lined up with the new triple track putters at odysseygolf.com.
Odyssey, the number one putter in golf. Callaway knows you can't create new distance by doing the same old, same old. It takes unconventional thinking to create something transformative, and that's what Callaway did with the new Maverick driver. Maverick's Flash Face SS20 was designed using artificial intelligence, a powerful supercomputer tested and refined thousands of virtual prototypes until it created Callaway's fastest, most forgiving driver possible. New distance is out there. It takes a Maverick to find it. Explore Maverick drivers at CallawayGolf.com.
Born from 10 years of research and innovation, the shaft synonymous with high performance and unrivaled feel is back. Introducing the all-new Mottori X from Fujikura. Built to amplify the performance of today's driver heads with a reinforced bias core and a torsionally stiffened handle, Mottori X doesn't just add speed and stability, it multiplies it. Get custom fit from Mottori X today.
When I'm not on the golf course, you'll probably find me in a river. Sometimes I only have a short time to fish. Sometimes I'm out all day going from spot to spot. Either way, I always wrestle with transporting my fly rod. Well, I found the perfect solution. The River Quiver by Riversmith. Handcrafted and designed in Boulder, Colorado by fishermen for fishermen. This premium rooftop fly rod holder transports your fully assembled, fully rigged fly rod safely and securely so you're ready to fish. And it looks sick on the roof rack. Locked, loaded, ready to fish. Get your River Quiver at Riversmith.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thanks to Scott Michaud for joining us from Augusta. This segment is brought to you in part by Hotel Park City. Hey, opening up this weekend, ski season is upon us, and Hotel Park City is a fantastic place for you to spend a ski weekend or just a little getaway. Go to hotelparkcity.com for all the details. They have gift certificates that are available, which makes a great holiday gift. And, you know, that might be one of the best things you can do for the holidays is a nice little getaway to the fabulous property at Hotel Park City and hotelparkcity.com. I loved talking to Scott and getting that little bit of a scene setter. I would have loved to have seen it, Bob. It was really strange on TV to see some of the sight lines,
yeah.
Especially on 8. You know, I mean, 8 looks so different without that backstop of the grandstand. And
oh, yeah, exactly.
It's on and on. I love the way you described 3, you know, because it's true. When you walk halfway down 2 and skip over to 3 green and you watch 3 green and 4 tee, you can't see the green a lot of times or half of it, you know. And so it is unique. It's interesting the way it all went down. Some people want to put it.
A lot of times you're standing, you know, he talked about the 18th hole and having like 700 people around it. You know, when we've been there many, many times before, that's been 15 to 20 rows deep around the 18th hole to be able to watch those final players come up. And most of those greens around them where spectators can sit in the seating areas and that kind of thing, it's at least 7 to 8 rows deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about thousands of people, and that's not hundreds of people that are gathered around there to watch that come to a conclusion. But, you know, some people will say there's an asterisk on this because it was played in August. Because it was played without patrons. I'm sorry, in November. I don't know where August came. In November, that there were no patrons. You know, on and on. I guess, look, as far as DJ's concerned, they're not taking his jacket away from him.
Who cares?
Yeah. It counts the same. And by the way, he cashed over $2 million for that win. How you doing?
Exactly.
Even tied for second went over $1 million.
Tied for second, we're over $1 million.
You and I are on the same wavelength there.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. So I don't think you put an asterisk on there.
you had a great field. Guys are playing well. DJ identified himself as the best player that week. Mm-hmm. And there's something that I appreciated about his play. When we talked about Bryson and the way he approached it, I didn't appreciate it. I don't care that he can do it. Yeah. I don't care that he's excited about it and that he wants to talk about it. I didn't appreciate his approach. I appreciate Dustin's approach. I've never seen Tiger come out and just, you know, talk smack about the golf course or talk about how much better he is than everybody else. Even Phil, when he jokes around, doesn't have that same kind of what I would say is borderline disrespect. Now, maybe you don't share that same opinion. That's my opinion. But I found myself sitting at home kind of rooting against Bryson a little bit. I didn't want to see somebody that came in with that type of attitude go out there and dismantle what most of us feel is a national treasure and a beloved golf course for all golf fans in Augusta National. And it didn't happen. In fact, you can kind of chuckle a little bit that Bernhard Langer, the 63-year-old shortest hitter in the field, and Bryson DeChambeau, who is, you know, hitting it the longest in the field, they went head to head on. Huh?
Bryson hit it 326 and he hit it 250.
Langer hit it 250. Okay.
Yep.
So we're talking 70 yards, 80 mm-hmm. yards, and Langer beats him by a shot.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that Bryson's what he's doing is a complete failure because he has the U.S. Open. He's a reigning U.S. Open champ, and he dismantled Wingfoot, and he was incredible. And he did it with a complete game, not just with a bomb. But when you see Langer outscore him, now Bryson says he wasn't feeling well. I get it. I know all the scenario. But that's a guy in Bernhard Langer that understands the golf course. And yes. A young player in Bryson DeChambeau that doesn't.
Correct. I liked what you said earlier about Dustin Johnson, the way he approached it. You know, the saying is walk silently and carry a big stick. Well, that's what he did. Mm. Bryson protested too much. He was too grandiose with all the things that he was going to do and the par of the golf course and that kind of thing. Totally different. Look at the golf course in maturity level and player level. And I think Dustin Johnson hit it right on the head.
I thought your comment was also equally interesting, and I hadn't even put it this way, but a sports psychologist is probably saying exactly what you're saying, Bob. When you go out and say that it's par 67, now you add pressure to yourself.
Yes.
You know, and so instead of shooting 68 and be like, hey, that was a nice 400 par, in your mind you're going, man, I'm one over.
Yep.
And golf is so mental. It's just it adds a bit of a tax to you, a bit of a burden to go out mm-hmm. there and try to back up what you already. It's like calling your shot.
Yep.
You know, you got the Bambino out there with the bat pointing out to, you know, the outfield saying that, you know, this one's going over the fence. And that's basically what he did. And then he had to back it up. Otherwise people were going to jeer him. And they did.
Yeah.
From afar, because no one was there to do it on site.
Right.
And
right.
Typically patrons of the Masters are more respectful. Bobby Jones says it's very discouraging to ever, disheartening for anyone to ever applaud the dismay or unfortunate scenarios of another player. But anyway, Correct. That said, I guess I found myself kind of like, okay, you got what you deserved on that one.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, he did have some great shots. You know, he got so down in the first round to come back and get to 72 under par. Then we saw him the next day lose the ball on the third hole, which became extremely difficult to watch. And he said, I loved when he said to the rules official, so if we don't find it, it's considered a lost ball. Of course, it's considered a lost ball, and you got to go back to the tee and re-hit. So, but it was interesting. After he re-hit, I guess one of the gallery marshals ended up finding the ball a few minutes later. So, he got himself into a position. He wasn't feeling well, but he got himself to a position where it was almost a no-win scenario for him.
You also, speaking of getting off to a bad start, I mean, how do you explain Rory McIlroy and the way he played outside of the first round? I mean, at this point in time, Bob, when he shows up in April, he needs to go out Wednesday as if it's the first round, fire a 78, and then he'll be on his way. I mean, he'll be in the final group come Sunday.
Yeah, I think what happened to Rory McIlroy and was that he saw the way the golf course was set up, the way scores were going, and how soft the whole situation was, and he put himself under pressure to score because of how, quote unquote, easy the golf course was looking. And when he did that, it really hurt him in the first round. Settled down in the second round, shot 66, and gave himself an opportunity.
Well, he did. You could call it a backdoor, but he played three solid rounds after opening mm-hmm. with 75 in his effort yep. to try to win the elusive green jacket and join that exclusive club of career Grand Slam winners. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. We'll continue hour number one. Thanks for joining us, recapping the 2020 Masters right here on Real Golf Radio. Hey, when you're not hunting birdies on the golf course, you may just want to hunt or shoot. Get some guns and ammo. Yeah, it's what you want. It's also the name of the store. Stop in one of the four locations along the Wasatch Front with Get Some Guns and Ammo stores in Murray, Orem, Layton, and Tooele. A great selection of firearms, an indoor shooting range for rifle, pistols, and shotguns, and Get Some has a large selection of range gun rentals so you can try it before you buy it. Beginners are welcome. Come and learn from the experts at Get Some Guns and Ammo, open 7 days a week.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA member FDIC.
Temperatures are dropping, and you know what that means. Frozen pipes, busted sprinklers, and worse. Turn to the experts at Mountain Land Supply to get you the right products for your yard that will last this time. Mountain Land Supply is an exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. That means the golf pros and superintendents trust Mountain Land Supply and Rainbird for their sprinklers, controllers, pipe, and everything they need to irrigate their golf courses. Shop where the pros shop. Go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest to you.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down. I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back here to Real Golf Radio, recapping the 2020 Masters. Stay tuned. The Caddy joins us on the back nine, hour number two, coming up momentarily. But right now, profile of a Masters champion. What did it take for DJ to slip on a green jacket last week?
Well, besides shooting 20 under par and winning by five, the things that DJ did extremely well is 306.7 yards off the tee. Fairways hit 44 of 56. That's a 78.57 percentage. And then, of course, greens in regulation. He led in greens in regulation with 60 of 72 greens in regulation. He averaged 15 a day and 83.33 on those greens.
Wow, that's impressive stuff. Ball striking was spot on. He was putting well enough, gave himself a lot of looks, and really minimized on the bogey category as well. Yeah. Set a record for a Masters champion with fewest number of bogeys as a champ, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, what did he have? Three, maybe?
I think he had
two in the final round.
Yeah, he had four, I believe, and the record previously was Jack set with five. Stay tuned. Yeah. The back nine, hour number two is next.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued an order Thursday to recount more than 800,000 ballots cast in Milwaukee and Dane counties. The order required by law after Trump paid $3 million for the recount. The recount will begin Friday and must be completed by December 1st. Milwaukee County officials say they plan to finish the recount by Wednesday. Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida says he has tested positive for the coronavirus and is working from home until he can safely return to Washington. Michael J. Fox has a new book, No Time Like the Future, An Optimist Considers Mortality. In the book, he describes a recent fall in a paraphrased audio clip.
Every day since the spinal cord surgery in April, everyone, doctors, family members, and friends have repeated this message to me over and over. You have one job, don't fall. Yet here I am. But for some reason, this just feels personal. Make lemons into lemonade, but I'm out of the lemonade business.
Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease at 29 years of age. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I would have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50, and, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
President Trump will meet with Republican leaders from Michigan at the White House on Friday to discuss plans moving forward on exposing voter fraud in the 2020 election, with hundreds of sworn affidavits claiming the irregularities. Michigan Governor Democrat Gretchen Whitmer calls the meeting an embarrassment to the state. Dr. Anthony Fauci assured the public Thursday that the coronavirus vaccines developed under President Trump's Operation Warp Speed will be safe and effective.
It was actually an independent body of people who have no allegiance to anyone, not to the administration, not to me, not to the companies, that looked at the data and deemed it to be sound.
Democrat California Governor Gavin Newsom is demanding nearly all Californians be subject to a 10 p.m. curfew starting Saturday in an effort to curb coronavirus. People will still be allowed to perform essential tasks like walking their dog, picking up prescriptions at the pharmacy, or getting takeout at restaurants. Curfew times are 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. Pacific. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Charles Schultz's infamous Peanuts Gang will make its return to broadcast TV this holiday season. USA Radio News' Tim Berg has more.
Fans of the Peanuts holiday specials, A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and A Charlie Brown Christmas, can turn their frowns upside down as PBS struck a deal with Apple to bring the programs back to traditional television for special airings. Apple TV Plus acquired the exclusive rights to the entire library of Charles Schultz's animated specials, and for the first time since 1965, there would be no more scenes of Snoopy dancing on regular TV. After an online petition garnered 260,000 signatures and people took to social media to bash Apple TV and Apple Plus, the show is now back on local TV. So mark your calendars. A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving and A Charlie Brown Christmas will air ad-free on PBS and PBS Kids on November 22nd and December 13th at 7:30 local time. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The doctor is in. If you have a nickel. Thursday Night Football was a great contest between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks won the contest 28-21, giving them first place in the toughest division in football, the NFC West. Wide receiver DK Metcalf talks up the win.
I feel like I can affect the game. I want to affect the game, when the ball's in my hands. But, we established a run game tonight. I think we rushed for over 100 yards, threw for over 100. So that was a big plus for us.
USA Radio News.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But The Secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
The second nine, the finishing holes, the closing stretch. It starts now. Here's the back nine, our number two of Real Golf Radio. With the steady, stripe it down the middle, make every putt because it's in your blood, Bob Casper, and that better lucky than good handled dragon flipper, Brian Taylor. Here's Brian and Bob.
Hey there, welcome into the back nine. Hour number two of Real Golf Radio, looking back at the 84th Masters. Dustin Johnson with a record 20 under par to dominate and capture the 2020 Masters and his second major championship, his 24th win in his career on the PGA Tour. Still to come this hour, we're going to welcome in America's favorite caddy. We'll get his thoughts and recap of what he saw and appreciated and found interesting about the tournament. We'll also continue looking at the leaderboard. We haven't gotten very far. Most of hour number one was squarely focused on Dustin Johnson and a couple of other players. But I'll tell you what, when a guy goes out and shoots 65-70, 65-68, that is a record, as we said. The first player to ever get to 20. And unlike Jordan Spieth, who got to 19 and came back to 18 with a bogey at the 72nd hole, Dustin Johnson would go ahead and hang on to that 20-under mark and set the record by two for the tournament scoring record, eclipsing Tiger and Jordan, who had got there to 18-under par. But just an impressive performance. We'll go through the list of his last eight starts and just how good DJ is playing, and we have to talk about Cam Smith. Bob, was that a little Larry Bird mustache he had going there? Maybe maybe something for, you know, a little something for the effort of Movember, but I'll tell you what, Cam Smith impressed me the way he played and hung in there. Obviously, he did well at the President's Cup, but some of the shots he pulled off and his resilience, that looks like a kid that's got a lot of promise and somebody to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he definitely did play some great golf. The shot out of the trees on the seventh hole to about 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet, something like that was pretty amazing. But you know, he just didn't have quite the firepower that Dustin Johnson did, that's for sure.
Well, that happens. And Sungjae Im, you know, that guy is the he's kind of the Cal Ripken of the PGA Tour, and yep. just plays every
he's
single
Iron
week.
Man.
And he, and I love the story that he's finally settling down in the Atlanta area. He's got a found a nice Korean community there that he's going to be a part of. And I kept thinking, wow, here he goes and plants his roots down in Atlanta, and it looks like he's going to pick up a green jacket to go in, you know, in the new home. But wasn't meant to be for Sungjae, but some terrific playing. He shows why he's continues to be a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, look, DJ had the advantage that a lot of the experienced players were too far back, and the inexperience really ultimately got, I think, to both Cam and Sungjae there in that final group.
Yeah, pretty crazy that Sungjae Im has been living out of a suitcase for the last couple of years on the PGA Tour.
It's wild. Hey, we haven't talked about Tiger Woods. What a wild back nine that just screams 2020. We'll get into it all next as the back nine kicks off. Brian and Bob with you right here on Real Golf Radio. How did Callaway create their most advanced tour ball ever? They took Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball, and started from scratch, re-engineering every aspect of Chrome Soft from cover to core to make their best performing tour ball even better. Callaway invested significantly in their U.S.-based golf ball facility in Chicopee, Massachusetts, in order to achieve the next level of innovation. There, they built the new Chrome Soft with a larger dual soft fast core, a new high-speed mantle system, and a thinner urethane cover to deliver an unmatched combination of speed, consistency, spin, and control for complete performance. And now the new 2020 Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X are both available with alignment enhancing triple track technology, so you'll have that performance lined up from tee to green. This ball changes everything. Get your new Chrome Soft or Chrome Soft X golf balls today at CallawayGolf.com. When it comes to putting, alignment is arguably the most important part of the equation.
Which is why Odyssey continues to set the standard for performance with the new triple track putters.
Three distinct alignment lines are now centered on every triple track putter head.
It's shocking how much easier it is to get it lined up.
You know, it's the same visual technology used to land jets on aircraft carriers.
It's that reliable and that accurate.
And once you're lined up correctly, you can focus on making a great stroke with the Stroke Lab shaft.
Get lined up with the new triple track putters at odysseygolf.com.
Odyssey, the number one putter in golf.
You might remember our supercomputer, that number-crunching golf junkie that harnessed its AI brilliance to create Flash Fades, a technology that unlocked performance never before seen in a driver. Well, after our supercomputer nailed the whole making a driver go farther thing, we gave it a new challenge, to design faces for the number one irons in golf. So our Maverick engineers meticulously programmed our supercomputer. It was churning and machine learning until... BOOM! Maverick Irons! A breakthrough in iron construction with uniquely designed faces throughout every set. Highly optimized performance for every type of play. We're talking explosive distance, incredible ball speed, and pin-seeking control. As for the supercomputer... it's training for its next assignment. Maverick from Callaway, the number one irons in golf.
Have you heard? There's an all-new experience coming to St. George, Utah. Black Desert Resort at Entrada is a full community resort experience featuring a resort hotel, private residences, world-class dining and shopping, a Tom Weisskopf-designed championship golf course, and so much more. With a simple message of remarkable within reach, Black Desert Resort beckons you to visit and even stay for a lifetime. Exclusive real estate opportunities are available at blackdesertresort.com. Black Desert Resort at Entrada, unlike anything you've experienced before.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. It's brought to you in part by Callaway Golf and the holiday gift guide available at CallawayGolf.com. How about this limited time offer? The distance is naughty. The price is nice. Get Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X with free personalization for just $39.99. So if you're keeping score at home, that means you're getting free personalization. Check it out. $39.99 for Chrome Soft or Chrome Soft X. What a great holiday gift. A little favorite, maybe the name, maybe their favorite saying, whatever you'd like on that. You can check it out at CallawayGolf.com for a limited time and just in time for the holiday. The Chrome Soft, the ball,
that changed the ball. All right, we have a lot to get to. We mentioned Dustin Johnson and his play of late. Well, how about his last eight starts, Bob? Let's go back to the WGC, tied for 12th. Then he was runner-up at the PGA. Then he won that Northern Trust, lost in that playoff to John Rahm at the BMW, which was just bananas. And then he won the Tour Championship, which some people could say, all right, look, he gave him a head start and he didn't really win. Whatever, he won. Tied for sixth the U.S. Open, tied for second at Houston after 2 weeks off for COVID. Nice way to come back. And then he wins the Masters. So 12-2, 1-2, 1-6, 2-1.
Yep.
Is that any good?
Like you said, seven consecutive starts on in top tens on the PGA Tour, and six of those were tied for second or better.
Yeah, you cut out the T12 at WGC, and you go start with the T2 at the PGA, and yeah, you go 2-1-2-1-6-2-1.
And then, as you stated earlier in the show, five consecutive top tens in the Masters, a tie for sixth, tie for fourth, tie for tenth, tie for second, and then he wins.
All right, let's talk about some of the other players, Bob. We got to talk about Tiger Woods. A 2020 back nine for sure. Did you ever think, let me answer that for you. It's never happened in Tiger Woods' professional career that he made double digits.
Double bogey?
He's never made a double digits on any hole as a professional. And he drops a 10 on 12. A year after all those around him made big numbers on 12 in order to pave the way for him to go out and pick up major number 15 and green jacket number 5.
Yeah, the highest score he's ever made on the PGA Tour was a 9, and that was in 1997 at the Memorial. He made that on the third hole in the third round. But
Rookie.
And that was after he won the Masters. So, but the great thing about Tiger is he birdied, what, 5 out of his last 6 goals?
He did. And I'll tell you, it's one of those things. Now, there were no people around, but obviously he knows whenever Tiger does anything remarkable, and this was remarkable for the wrong reasons, that he is going to be on camera and everybody is going to want to see this. So I loved some of the comments that he made afterwards when he said, look, in our sport, you can't quit. You have to keep going. There is no manager to come out and pull you off the bump, I believe is what he said. So referring to a pitcher that just things get sideways and he goes to the dugout and you bring someone else in. There is no reliever. And so, he said he misjudged the wind on the original shot and that was put him in the water. And then he went into the back bunker, came out of it awkwardly back into the water and hit another awkward shot out there and then three putted to compound it. And you would think at that point in time that he would just get, let's just give up and mail this thing in. But to your point, birdieing 5 of the last 6 coming in.
Yep.
Hal Sutton tweeted out that for all of the accomplishments that Tiger Woods has in his career, that example might be the most impressive especially for junior golfers.
Well, I think that's put extremely well. And Hal Sutton's a guy that beat him in the Players Championship and that has seen the best players in the game play. And that's a huge thing. I mean, he could mail it in at that point, making a 10 on the par 3 12th. But then to follow it up with 5 birdies and 6 holes was such a cool thing. And it wasn't that he was making big long putts or anything like that. He just kept hitting the ball close to the hole and made a bunch of birdies. It was really cool to watch.
It was impressive. And you felt bad for him, of course, but at the same time, it was impressive the way he fought back and grinded his way around. Let's take it back to the halfway point, Bob, and Brandel Chambly doing a great job chronicling these stats that Jack Nicklaus won his 6th Masters in 1986, 23 years after his first. He was ranked 33rd in the world going into that week. If Tiger wins this week, it will be his 6th Masters, 23 years after his first. He is ranked 33rd in the world going into this week, and then you could add to it after 2 rounds. And Jack was tied for 17th and 4 shots back, as was in 86, as was Tiger.
Yes.
In 2020. At that point in time, we were pretty giddy about how this thing was going to shake out.
it didn't go that way for Tiger Woods. How surprised were you that he wasn't able to continue that great play? Or is this just kind of where Tiger is right now?
Well, I think we were giddy about it because in the first round, he shot an 4 under par 68 with zero bogeys, and he made it look so easy. Mm. He only played 9 holes the second day, and then he came out in the morning of the third round when it was about 55 to 57 degrees, and you could see it on his face as the day went on that he wasn't feeling good. His back wasn't feeling good. He was reaching down awkwardly to get the ball out of the hole. So it looked like he was strained a little bit. And with that cool weather and having to play 27 holes, that was difficult for him. So I think what it drove home to me in my mind was that Tiger's fragile. He has to have the conditions extremely right. You know, he needs to have it warm weather. He needs to be able to play 18 holes every round and not more than 18 holes. And he needs to have his time to warm up. He needs to have his time to cool down. He needs to have his time to have a physio guy work on him and massage and all that kind of stuff. And those opportunities for him to win going forward are going to be few and far between.
That's very well said, Bob. I couldn't agree with you more. I think you're right. It all has to kind of come together for him. And let's not forget that Augusta National is not an easy walk.
No. There's a lot of up and down, a lot of elevation change.
And for him to, as you mentioned, to play the additional holes on top of the rounds that he had to play and to get up so early and have it be cold. All that played into it. Let's just put this into perspective. Tiger beat Paul Casey on Sunday by a shot with a 10 on a par 3. How does that make you feel, Paul? Sorry, I don't mean to call you out.
He shot 76. He shot 76 in the final round.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, pretty impressive. He still, even with a 10 on 12 on Sunday, he tied for 38, which is, you know, I mean, hats off, right? I mean, he beat Jordan Spieth by a couple of shots. I don't know what else to tell you, but Spieth's another matter. You know, there certainly were flashes for Jordan, but there were too many struggles for Jordan as well.
I agree.
Yeah. Which is too bad. Rory McIlroy, we touched on him briefly, but you've been tooting his horn for a long time going into the Masters. He's now, 0 for 6 in his effort to complete the career Grand Slam? It's a quick turnaround. What are your thoughts on Rory going into April with a chance to slip on a green jacket and join that Grand Slam club?
Well, I think hopefully he learns something from this Masters, especially in that first round, that he's got to not put a ton of pressure on him. He's got to let it come to him a little bit. Nick Faldo on the broadcast basically said the same thing. He's got to let it come to him and not go out there and try to force the issue. And I think he did that in the first round, and that's why he shot 75. He let it come to him in the final three rounds, and he played some great golf and finished in the top five.
66, 67, 69 after that opening 75. Hey, coming up next, we're going to welcome in America's favorite caddy. We'll get his take on all of these discussion points. And some of the other leaderboard members that we haven't talked about, including John Rahm, who looked like for a bit after opening 69-66 that maybe it was his time. Of course, he also had the two aces in the first couple of days of practice rounds. So and he had a birthday. So you wondered if it was all going to come together. And maybe looking back on it, Bob, the two aces were sort of like winning the par three contest. Maybe it just worked against him.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? When you're on, you're on.
That's what me and the caddy said.
Yeah? Oh, there you go. There you go. That's a good point. I also think, again, like I mentioned about Bryson, it takes these young guys some time to figure out this golf course. And certainly Rahm shows that he has the tools to win here. We'll see if he can actually get it done. Caddy joins us next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey, when you're not hunting birdies on the golf course, you may just want to hunt or shoot. Get some guns and ammo. Yeah, it's what you want. It's also the name of the store. Stop in one of the four locations along the Wasatch Front with Get Some Guns and Ammo stores in Murray, Orem, Layton, and Tooele. A great selection of firearms, an indoor shooting range for rifle, pistols, and shotguns, and Get Some has a large selection of range gun rentals so you can try it before you buy it. Beginners are welcome. Come and learn from the experts at Get Some Guns and Ammo, open 7 days a week.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA, member FDIC.
This is Brian Taylor. There are things in your life that stand out as significant, game changers even. They impact everything else you do. I'm not overstating when I say my choice to have LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision was one of those. Growing up, I had good vision. I never wanted glasses. One day in college, I realized I couldn't see the whiteboard. Finally, I broke down. I got glasses and contacts, and I was introduced to the world of irritated and dry eyes, contact solution, broken glasses, you name it. Finally, I had LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. This was a game changer. No more contacts, no more solution, no more glasses. Instantly, I could see. It was so easy and it worked. My only regret was waiting so long. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with the latest technology, they give you more options than ever. Do yourself a favor. Go to hoopsvision.com right now and schedule your free consultation. And mention Real Golf Radio and save $1,000 off your LASIK procedure. Hoops Vision is your key to making sure nothing gets between you and your life focus. It's one of those moments you'll always remember.
You might know Mountainland Supply for its plumbing products, but did you know Mountainland Supply also carries landscaping, irrigation supplies, and tools? They can help you design and calculate the exact feet of pipe, sprinkler heads, and nozzles to use for your yard. Using smartphone technology, you can even control your watering with state-of-the-art controllers. For all your landscaping needs, go to mountainlandsupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Hi, fellow sports fans. It's Ned Siegfried. What would we do without sports? Following our favorite sports teams, whether it be the Jazz or the Utes or the Cougs, takes our mind off the many challenges in life. Accidents and their resulting injuries are certainly unexpected challenges that many people are forced to deal with. If you're one of these people, we'd love to talk to you about your situation. Call us at 801-222-2222. We'll talk to you for free. Or visit us at SiegfriedandJensen.com.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real. Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper. The segment brought to you by Odyssey, the number one putter in golf. And it's time for America's favorite caddy.
There are bag rats, and then there are caddies.
Baby.
Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy, on Real Golf Radio.
Yeah, caddy joins us every week right here on Real Golf Radio, and I'll tell you, one of the great things about Augusta National and the Masters Tournament is that the caddy is, in fact, a very important piece to the tradition, and not only with the gear that they wear and the way they stand out, but, you know, a great history to the tournament. Caddy joins us right now. He's donned those overalls a time or two. What's up, Caddy?
I think I'm going to vote for Connor Moore for being the new Augusta Masters tradition after his renditions from this year were just so good. If you haven't seen them, look them up.
When Tiger was doing his press conference afterward, my wife and I were just laughing because she's like, oh, my gosh, he is spot on with Tiger. He is just exactly.
He's so good with the Tiger. But he got every one of them well. The Nick Faldo was priceless, wearing the armor, the helmet. I mean, it was ridiculous. Anyway.
So, caddy, what was it like? What was it like to watch that? I mean, how cool is it for a caddy
especially in the situation with DJ, where his brother is able to be there with him and take the whole flag stick when it was all said and done. The emotion that was showed there, I mean, it was a pretty special moment there at the end.
I thought that was great, and it just shows you so much goes into it, and so many years and years go into something like that. And they grew up right down the road, so it's yep. that much more a hometown victory from them. And that's just, it's great stuff. That's what you love. One of the great positive in sports when you have something nice like that happen. And I texted Austin afterwards and I told him, I said, my favorite part of the whole tournament was when, you know, he kind of lost it there on 18 a little bit. And, I said, that was just great. I mean, it shows everybody. And he hasn't responded yet. So I block him.
Cancel.
Well, you know, and Dustin Johnson said that it happened in the fairway, and he kind of had to hit him and say, no. Hey, quit this, because, you're going to make me emotional now. We got to finish this thing off. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you can get it going all of a sudden if somebody doesn't maintain the control. So at least, but great stuff. DJ sure kind of laid the hammer down like he had been at some other tournaments earlier in the year. And he looked like he was going to do this kind of thing at Wingfoot, and he didn't. And then, of course, ran into some issues. And but gosh. Wow, what a year for him. I mean, he's looked like he's just peaked, right? I mean, wow. It's pretty cool stuff.
We've been talking.
What will he do next year?
Well, that's it. Yeah. We've been talking about not only next year, but where do you project him? He's tied with Gary Player for 26th all-time wins list right now at 24 wins. He's got the 24 wins and two majors, and he's mm-hmm. 36 years old. I mean, you got to figure he's going to play another 20 Masters or so, right, being a past champ. And then, you know, he's got a good 10 years of – you know, so call it a good, you know, he should be competitive for the next, you know, 40-ish majors. Well, what's the upside? What's the potential there for him when it's all said and done in his career? Wins, majors, totals, that type of thing.
Well, he kind of looks like a guy that, this probably isn't true at all. It's almost never true. But he looks like the guy who could just fall out of bed and win a tournament because he's so talented and physically gifted and just, I mean, he, body-wise, body type, all that, it doesn't look like an injury coming down the line for him, and it looks like he could play forever with that kind of flexibility. And, I mean, wow. I mean, who knows? If he doesn't get bored, no reason to think he's not going to keep going for a while. But I will also point out that how many players, Tiger Woods included, Arnold Palmer included, didn't win anything after age 34 or 35 or 36. Well, lots of them. There's a lot more that don't win anymore than do win. Great players.
And Vijay was kind of the anomaly on that. He won a ton of events in his 40s. But, you know, the interesting thing you were talking about, doesn't look like, you know, he's going to have any physical problems coming down the line right now. But let's not forget that he just had his knee surgically repaired or scoped last fall, before he started back up on tour again in the beginning of 2020. So he has had some issues before, but I'll tell you what, he sure has recovered, and he's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen with those knee surgeries. Koepka's obviously struggled with his quite a bit, and Tiger's, of course.
Yeah.
Brutal what his have done to him. You know, he's really struggled with his, so who knows. It doesn't look like DJ's suffering from it. It looks like he's fine and dandy, so maybe I don't know. I wouldn't put him on the injury worry list yet.
Yeah.
So
what's more 2020, Caddy? What's more 2020? DJ shooting a record 20 under, Cam Smith becoming the first player to shoot four rounds in the 60s and doesn't win, or Tiger Woods, for the first time in his professional career, making a 10, a double-digit number, and he did it at the par 3 12th.
Hands down the 10. That's never going to happen. There's no chance. And I obviously, look, I mean, I was a little bummed with Tiger that he just mailed it in after that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Yeah, know, well, that's I mean, what I was going to say. the real 2020 was he made the 10, but then he birdied 5 out of the last 6 holes.
Yeah, that was the. You know, the funny thing about that, it's so impressive to do that, and it's not even impressive that he did that because, yeah, okay, that's what Jack would have done. That's what Tiger does. The great golfers just do that. It's almost like you almost look at that and go, wow, you know, if Joe LaCava could figure out how to piss him off just the right way, he could shoot 30 under or something. You know, you got to get him going, apparently. He needs a little inspiration. But that was just such cool stuff. All I could think of was that he played the last 6 holes like Bob Casper the last time Bob Casper played the National.
I don't know if it's quite that much.
The only birdie I didn't make was 15. I started on 13 and didn't birdie 15.
Right, so he tied you.
Yep.
Yeah, he tied you. But, I don't know who
I don't think he gives a nod to on that. I don't think 5 of the last 6 birdies is 2020 at all. I mean, that's vintage Tiger, right? I mean, we've seen Tiger do that kind of stuff. The 2020 part was the fact that he made that 10 on the hole that everybody else fell apart a year ago, paving the way for him to go on and win his 5th green jacket. That was what was interesting.
Yeah.
Proving that timing is everything. And, right. And of course, well, the 2020 thing was birdieing 5 of the last 7 holes and shooting even par. That was the 2020. So
there you go.
Anyway,
Have you ever seen this golf course play as easy as it did?
That's funny. That's just what I was going to bring up. It was no. Well, actually, for stretches I have, but not for 4 days, for 72 holes. I mean, you had a little bit of breeze come up on the back nine on Sunday. It laid down the whole week. Otherwise, I mean, it'll never get any easier than that. It can't be any easier than that. It was sticky to enough of a good degree on the greens that they never got treacherous. Even late Sunday, there wasn't really anything slippery going on. That was weird. It just the way it is. I don't expect to see that in April. You can probably see a whole nother thing in April, but. Yeah, well, it goes back to our old mantra of when the greens are soft, the scores are going to be low no matter what. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Surprised at all when you look at the holes and how they were ranked for the tournament. 5 played the most difficult. It was the number one rank. Hole had it gave up 12 birdies, 82 bogeys, looks like 6 double bogeys on number 5. The second hardest hole was 11. Third hardest was 18. The fourth hardest was 10. And the 5th ranked most difficult hole was number 1.
That's about right. That's not unusual sounds about right for those rankings. Number 5, for I know most of our listeners have been to the Masters and played the course. So I don't need to really describe it, but number 5, that green, it's crazy.
It's diabolical
for a 500 yard long hole. It is diabolical. Yeah. It's wild. And Bob, are you impressed at how many awesome putts guys hit from the low front right over that slope to that pin placement? I mean, guys were making it. I mean, how do you do that?
They were doing it because the greens were not as slow.
They had
those pins forward. When the pins were not as fast, but when the pins were a little bit further back, you didn't see a lot of those guys coming up short.
Yeah, you're right. And that putt, that particular putt I'm talking about, it's so impossible because you have to get it up there, but then it goes away from you and it just takes off. It's like impossible to get it close. And that shows you that's a good description for how the course just wasn't its normal self on a difficult.
Well, some of the guys were leaving it short, putting up to that front flag that was just up, that's just up there on that knob.
Right. You don't usually see that. So
no.
But hey, it was obviously everybody couldn't wait for that tournament to roll around, and I'm glad we were able to play it and get through it, and it ended up being well worth watching, as it always is. It's kind of like the Open Championship over there in on the other side of the pond, it doesn't really matter what the scores are, the final scores. It's always good to watch. They can be high. They can be low. It's usually just good stuff, which is, kind of a testament to playing the course as nature is going to have you play it and not try to do anything crazy to combat the reality of what's out there conditions-wise. So kudos to the setup guys, as always.
Caddy joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So what's your takeaway after seeing how the week played out with the Bryson experiment? I know it didn't go the way he wanted. He said he didn't feel very well, so dizzy, got a COVID test, came back negative. But, to go head-to-head with Bernhard Langer, the shortest guy in the field and 63 years old, and lose by a shot on Sunday, it's at least noteworthy. I don't think you scrapped the whole thing, but it did seem that for all of the bravado and gusto he brought into the week, it fizzled out fairly quickly.
Playing with Bernhard Sunday, out driving him by 100 yards on every hole and getting beat, that was the perfect example of golf karma just coming into play. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, right? I mean, it was just like, oh, you could just see this coming. But Bryson, my jury's still out a little bit. Can he do something there? I think so. He just hasn't yet. And my real big question is, in April, if we have a little more normal Augusta treachery and slipperiness, I just want to see how he handles that now, because he's made himself a pretty good scorer, a pretty good chipper, a good putter. But I just want to see, can he maintain that really good putting when it gets treacherous and slippery out there? That's the one. I think the driver's fine. I don't think he had kind of a weird week driving it. I don't think he actually drove it. He had a lot of fairways, but he also almost lost a few balls, and it was kind of like hit or miss out there. And maybe that's what it is with that style. But I don't think he'd say he had a great driving week, like he did at some other tournaments earlier in the year. So if he does have a hot driving week. He played the par fives great, didn't he? Didn't he play them pretty far under par?
I think.
Yeah. So it was effective, and
except for the double on Thursday on 13.
Yeah. Yeah. The main thing really for him, though, and he pointed it out right away, I think, in the press conference, is he's got to control his wedges out there. You just can't hit a wedge 20, 30, 40 feet from the hole at Augusta and score at all. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So that's my big, I'm going to put that as even a bigger question mark as the treacherous putting touch. I think he might have that putting thing solved, but even in some tournaments he won, like the Rocket Mortgage, he would get up on a hole and hit a 9-iron or a wedge like 40 feet long or something. And that distance control, it's not going to work around there, because he's going to hit so many wedges. He's got to dial that in. And he talked about that. So he said, look, when you're hitting it that far, it's kind of hard to hit a short shot anymore. Right. I mean,
sure. I'm not going to go there, but how much of that with touch on the wedge, Caddy, is the fact that his wedge is as long as a 6-iron? I mean, is that going to play into it?
Yeah. That's been discussed quite a bit. Is he making it a lot harder for himself to control a wedge because the shafts are that long? And I would say my instinctive thought, like everybody else's, is like, absolutely.
Yeah. Conventional wisdom.
The long shaft is going to hit the ball further, all things equal. Right. I mean, it's just, it definitely would seem to make common sense. Anybody who knows physics a little bit knows that common sense doesn't always apply, though, in physics. So maybe we're all wrong about that, but I'd say give it a try. But you got to consider, too, I mean, this guy's played his whole life with these same length shafts, more or less. I mean, the couple of longer clubs are longer, but essentially the same length shafts, and that's grooved in there. That's locked into that system that he's been doing this for years. And can he go to a shorter length short iron set? I don't even know. That might throw them all out of cahoots. So, I mean, one thing Bryson has shown us that he's not scared to try anything. And he's also pretty good at figuring stuff out. So I wouldn't bet against him on figuring out his wedges. But I think he's got some obstacles to get past to make that happen. So we'll see.
No doubt about it. Caddy, thanks so much for taking some time. Great to look back on the 2020 Masters with you, and enjoy the rest of the weekend, huh?
Oh, it's so beautiful in Denver. It's 60 degrees every day in November. I don't ever want it to end, but it will. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
There you go. That's the Caddy joining us right here, enjoying the above average temperatures in the Mile High City. We'll take a short break. We'll continue the show next. Thanks for being with us. Brian and Bob, looking back at the Masters right here on Real Golf Radio.
Born from 10 years of research and innovation, the shaft synonymous with high performance and unrivaled feel is back. Introducing the all-new Mitori X from Fujikura. Built to amplify the performance of today's driver heads with a reinforced bias core and a torsionally stiffened handle, Mitori X doesn't just add speed and stability, it multiplies it. Get custom fit from Mitori X today.
When I'm not on the golf course, you'll probably find me in a river. Sometimes I only have a short time to fish. Sometimes I'm out all day going from spot to spot. Either way, I always wrestle with transporting my fly rod. Well, I found the perfect solution. The River Quiver by Riversmith. Handcrafted and designed in Boulder, Colorado by fishermen for fishermen. This premium rooftop fly rod holder transports your fully assembled, fully rigged fly rod safely and securely so you're ready to fish. And it looks sick on the roof rack. Locked, loaded, ready to fish. Get your River Quiver at Riversmith.
At Callaway, we spent years obsessing over how to deliver golfers a better tour ball. New materials were discovered. Recipes were fine-tuned. Then, finally, all the blood, sweat, and late nights in the lab produced Chrome Soft, the ball that changed the ball. Soon, Callaway was the fastest-growing major golf ball brand in the game. You'd think after such a feat, we sat back and cracked a cold one. No way. Come on, man. That wasn't enough. Instead, our engineers set out to achieve the next big thing, a complete reinvention. That's right. We blew it all up and doubled down big time, investing in our Massachusetts ball plant with state-of-the-art machinery and expanding our team of progressive thinking engineers, all in pursuit of a revolution in golf ball innovation. So, here we are, a new Chrome Soft with game-changing distance, incredible feel, and exceptional control. Our highest quality and most consistent tour ball imaginable. The new Chrome Soft 2020. This ball changes everything.
Those who know love heading to St. George, Utah for year-round fun, especially golf. But where to stay is always a challenge, and getting a tee time can be tough. What if there was a Scottsdale-style golf resort in St. George where you can stay and play? And what if you could own your own residence there? Well, now there is. Introducing Black Desert Resort at Entrada. The second and final chapter of the Entrada vision offers a full community with exceptional amenities from residential villages, hiking trails through preserved lava flows, spa, world-class dining and shopping, and a Tom Weisskopf championship golf course. It's literally an outdoor paradise that will strengthen family bonds and make lifelong memories. That's life at Black Desert. Find out how you can stake your claim at blackdesertresort.com. blackdesertresort.com. Exclusive real estate opportunities are available now. Black Desert Resort at Entrada. Unlike anything you've experienced before.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us here as we recap the 2020 Masters. And this segment is brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort at Entrada in St. George, Utah. The second and final chapter of the Entrada Vision offers a full community with exceptional amenities from residential villages, the spa, world-class dining and shopping, and of course, a Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, which is underway. It's literally an outdoor paradise, and there are exclusive real estate opportunities available now. Go to blackdesertresort.com. All right, Bob, as we kind of wrap up this Masters recap show, we've talked about DJ, 65-70, 65-68. We know he took over home over $2 million, $2,070,000 to be correct. But he also got some crystal. Not only, I should say he gets the Sterling Silver Replica Masters Trophy. He gets the gold medal, and then he gets the crystal vase for the low score of the day in rounds 1, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. He also got a crystal highball glasses for eagles in on the second hole in rounds 1 and 3 as well. So like a lot of crystal, a lot of cheddar, a nice green jacket, and a really super cool trophy, and a gold medal.
And in a pear tree. Did he get, Don Pardo? He got a invitation to come back every year for the rest of his life.
Well, yeah, that goes without say. I mean, it's, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. He could definitely put a song together for him. But
pretty good.
You know,
one. I was going to say one of the guys I was disappointed with a little bit was Justin Thomas, who was right at there at 9 under par after 36 holes, and then was only able to shoot 3 under par on the weekend, when everybody else was in the 60s, some of them in the mid-60s, and that would have given him a better chance. But I'll tell you what, you know, a fourth-place finish, it's one that Justin Thomas, he said himself that he feels he can win on this golf course. He loves this golf course, and I won't put it past him. He's young enough. He's still got plenty of opportunities to win this thing.
Well, there's no question. And the thing, he actually keyed in on what I usually key in every year leading into the Masters tournament, and that's trends. And yes, he pointed out, he said, look, I've gotten better every year. He's gone 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th, and now he checks in with his first top five with a fourth place finish. So, I guess it's disappointing when you open 66, 69, and you shoot 70, 71 on the weekend, that you didn't quite live up to what you set the table for the weekend and you weren't able to capitalize on it. I'll give you that. But Justin Thomas is still a young player. He's phenomenal talent. And sure, it's somewhat disappointing, but if you had to ask the two, I mean, we were back and forth. We had DJ and JT as 1 and 2 as our picks.
Yes, yes.
And if you had to really pin us down, I would have said that, look, you go with the experience. I mean, one guy's 36 and's played in 10 of these things.
Yep.
And, you know, another guy is playing in his fifth. So, I look at the trend. I would definitely go with, you know, the betting favorite is DJ, and second is Bryson. I'm not falling for the Bryson thing. I don't know where does JT stack up. Do you have the odds right there? I mean, he's got to be a little bit better bet. I like
for coming
Justin
up. Yeah, the odds for coming up.
Yeah, for 2021. I like Justin.
He's
11 Thomas.
To 1. He's fourth.
I would take 11 to 1 over 8 to 1. I think.
Yeah.
You know,
DJ's 8 to 1. Bryson's 9 to 1. Rory and John Rahm are 10 to 1, and Justin's 11 to 1.
I wouldn't take that John Rahm bet. No. I like John Rahm, but I don't think he's close on this golf course. He's got some things to figure out.
He's got to learn. He's got to learn some things.
Yep. He's going to go out and shoot a couple of good rounds, no doubt. But you got to figure out the consistency. Now, Cam Smith saying, "Hey, where's my consistency? 4 rounds in the 60s for the first time, and he doesn't win." There's 2020 for you. But yeah, I mean, Xander Schauffele from 50th to 2nd, and again, 25 birdies to lead last year's tournament, and he got off to that same hot start again and then just fizzled out a little bit. And maybe he's one of those guys that needs the gallery. I think a lot of guys feed off of that. Justin Thomas might be one of those as well. So,
I agree. He's talked about that. One more thing that we haven't talked about at Augusta is Andy Ogletree. He was the low amateur for the Masters this year. He also won the U.S. Amateur, and he has turned professional. They don't know when he's going to play his first event yet, or he hasn't announced when he's going to play his first event yet. But he gets 7 sponsors exemptions this year. And, of course, if he can make enough money, he gets conditional status. If he wins a golf tournament, then he's automatically a member.
Brooks Koepka sort of quietly made a top 7. Rory McIlroy, you know, great 66, 67, 69 in his final 54 holes and jumps into a top 5. So, you know, that 75 in the opening round kept him really out of the mix. But
Patrick Reed, a top 10.
Reed's been playing good this year, quietly. He's been playing good. Yeah. And Webb Simpson, you know, look, he opened with 67, closed with 68, but he had that 73, 71 there in the middle. So, you know, there's a lot of guys. Look, Cameron Champ with a top 20 finish. He had a pair of 68s in there, 74 on Friday. It really hurt his chances. Tommy Fleetwood continues to play well at Augusta. Those are all players you got to look at as next year's Masters rolls around. Hey, real quickly, before we run out of time, there were some big things that were announced this week. And got to mention Tiger Woods announcing that he's going to play in the PNC father-son with his 11-year-old son, Charlie. This was huge news. I mean, that's a big boost for certainly I think anytime you can get Tiger Woods to play in your event is great. But, Bob, you've played many times in this event with your dad, Billy Casper. How special is this for a father-son duo to get out there? And how do you think they'll do?
Yeah, I think they'll do well. Charlie's already shown that he can play some really good golf. And, you know, with dad backing him up, I think it's going to be pretty good. But it is the greatest thing to be able to play with your dad and have it in the family, and I think this is going to be really, really fun. I will definitely tune in for this one.
They got to give him some advantage on the tee boxes, right?
I mean, they do. Yeah,
they got to have some junior tee boxes for 11-year-old to go out there. Hopefully, anyway. Also, you're going to see Justin Thomas that will play alongside his dad, PGA professional Mike Thomas.
Go.
So that's another one that's kind of interesting. Matt Kuchar is going to be playing with his father, and let's see. Oh, sorry, I misread. He's previously played with his father. He's going to play with his son, who's 13 years old, Cameron. So you can have a couple of junior golfers out there. John Daly and his son still playing. Jim Furyk is playing with his son. Patrick Harrington with his son. It's interesting. You know, it really has kind of turned over. You still have Lee Trevino out there. You still have Nick Price. Gary Player with his grandson. Still have some of the old guys, but a lot of the new guys that are out there. And Bernhard Langer and son, watch out for that duo. No doubt. All right, we'll take a short break. We'll wrap up the show next. Thanks for joining us. Brian and Bob with you right here on Real Golf Radio. Hey guys, BT here, and Bob and I are two happy customers of Barbecue Pit Stop. I'm absolutely in love with my new Yoder YS640S. This is the most versatile smoker grill I've ever used, and its Wi-Fi makes it a cinch. I feel like a barbecue pit master. Hey, whatever you need from grills and smokers to rubs and sauces, Barbecue Pit Stop has it for you in one of their 3 locations, Lehigh, Salt Lake, or Layton, or online at barbecuepitstop.com.
Hi, it's Ned Siegfried. Siegfried & Jensen has been around a long time. We've been handling injury cases for over 30 years. During this time, Siegfried & Jensen has had the privilege of helping tens of thousands of Utahns. If you've had the misfortune of being injured in an accident, we'd love to help you as well. To talk to us for free about your situation, call us at 801-222-2222 or visit us at SiegfriedandJensen.com.
Hotel Park City, along with the Spa and Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, are open. Parents were tired, forced into homeschooling, juggling work at home and kids at home. Well, take a staycation and escape to Hotel Park City. The pool's open, fitness center, Bandana's Grill, Ruth's Chris, the spa, and the golf course. From suites and the cottages that offer private hot tubs on the balcony and 3 fireplaces, you got to get away to Hotel Park City. Call 435-940-5077. That's 435-940-5077 for reservations today.
I'm Bob Casper with the Casby Real Estate Group, where we have more than 40 years of combined real estate experience in Utah. We understand that the way people buy and sell is rapidly changing, and life's biggest moves can be a stressful experience. At the Casby Real Estate Group, we provide cutting-edge technology, innovative marketing strategies, and skilled negotiation to help you reach your goals. We care about what you care about, and our most important partnership is with you. That's why I'm with Casby Real Estate Group at iPro Realty Network, where we pride ourselves on life's biggest moves simplified.
Introducing the Amazing Rewards for Business 321 program. With the Amazing Rewards for Business Visa credit card from Zions Bank, you earn 3 points for select business purchases, 2 points for travel, and 1 point for all other purchases. Learn more about the Amazing Rewards 321 program at zionsbank.com or your local Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business. Subject to credit approval, terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Zions Bank, a division of ZBNA, member FDIC.
Temperatures are dropping, and you know what that means. Frozen pipes, busted sprinklers, and worse. Turn to the experts at Mountainland Supply to get you the right products for your yard that will last this time. Mountainland Supply is an exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. That means the golf pros and superintendents trust Mountainland Supply and Rainbird for their sprinklers, controllers, pipe, and everything they need to irrigate their golf courses. Shop where the pros shop. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest to you.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks so much to Scott Michaud for joining us from Augusta, as well as America's favorite caddy. If you missed any part of the show, you can go ahead and find it on your favorite podcaster site or follow us on Twitter at Real Golf, where we post every one of our segments and the shows in its entirety. Congratulations to Dustin Johnson, winner of the 84th Masters, and he joins Bryson DeChambeau and Colin Morikawa as major champions in 2020. Don't forget, coming up next week, it is the match, Capital One's The Match, Champions for Change, and it's going to be on TNT Friday at 3 p.m., day after Thanksgiving at Stone Canyon Golf Club in Oro Valley, Arizona. Charles Barkley and Phil Mickelson taking on Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Should be interesting. Enjoy the weekend, everyone. Thanks for being with us here on Real Golf Radio.
Hi, this is Jay Ritchie, the co-host of Tee to Green, the golf show, the show by golfers for golfers. Be sure to join us every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time when we talk golf in Colorado Springs, Colorado, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.